Can I thank God's servant for his words of welcome? It's a real joy and a privilege to be with you tonight, to be able to give a word of testimony. My testimony tonight is to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for me, and it's to his name be all the glory. I'll not be telling you about any of my sins, because my sins are washed in the blood, and they're forgiven, and they're forgotten. But I'll tell you what the Lord has done for me, and how good he has been to me down through these years. Could we turn to John chapter 3, and we'll read a few verses of Scripture, please. John chapter 3, this chapter has been a real blessing to me in the early days of my Christian life. We're starting to read at the verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And we know the Lord will bless the reading from his own precious word this evening. Could we just have a word of prayer with God's word open? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the hymns that we've been singing. Now, Lord, as we come, I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy salvation so great, so full and so free. Lord, hide man behind the cross tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's one that knows you not as Savior, that my Savior may become their Savior too. Lord, anything that comes out of this mouth that is of the flesh, deafen it to the ears of the people. And Lord, I just thank thee for all your goodness to us. We can say, great is thy faithfulness unto us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I was brought up in the centre of Belfast in a place called Donegal Pass. Donegal Pass runs between Shaftesbury Square and the Lower Armour Road. And like all young boys in those days, I was a member of a family of five girls and one boy. And I was the one boy and the youngest member of the family. My mum and dad weren't Christians in those days. But you know, the people in Belfast in those days had the knowledge of sending their children out to Sunday school and out to the different meetings. And my mum would send me out to the Sunday school. We attended Great Victoria Street Presbyterian Church, though my parents never darkened the door. I was a member of the Boys' Brigade. I was also sent along to Sunday school, and I was sent along to a little brethren Sunday school, and I was sent along to the Elam, to the children's meeting, and then I was sent to the Boys' Brigade. So I was sent well round. But you know, the place where I heard the gospel the most was in that little Sunday school. And I had a faithful Sunday school teacher, a man called Mr. Stewart. And he had six or seven young men in his class. And every year we would go up with him as our ages would change. And you know, every year he would see someone in that class coming to the Savior. And I was the only one that hadn't come to the Savior. You know, I used to hate school. I did not like school. And the only time I liked school was when the bell rang at 3 o'clock and you got home on sports day. And I remember the headmaster saying to me when I was leaving at the old age of 15, I remember him saying to me, Gilmore, if you had showed more interest in schoolwork than you did in sport, you'd have done something for your life. You know, my whole ambition was to be a professional footballer. And that's all I wanted to be. I loved football. I used to come in the morning or in the afternoon and throw my school bag and go out and kick football. I started to work as an apprentice electrician, and we were sent to a big job down in Cordals. And at lunchtime, we used to play football. And I didn't know that the manager of Carrick Rangers was looking on. And he approached me one day, and he asked me if I would sign for Carrick Rangers. And this was my life. I was going to be into the Irish League football. Then I left Carrick Rangers and went to Distillery, and then I went to Ards. During the summer, my other interest was flute bands. I used to play the side drum in a flute band. And during the winter, all my interest was in football. And during the summer, it was in the flute bands. I remember when I was 15 going to my Sunday school teacher, Mr. Stewart, and saying, "And Mr. Stewart, I'll not be back." And I can see that old man, the tears in his eyes. And he said to me, "Tommy, you're leaving my Sunday school class today." And he said, "If the Lord was to come back, all those boys would be going to heaven. But Tommy, you'd be lost." And you know, it didn't fizz on me. And I remember that man saying to me, "Tommy, I've just one verse for you. If God has spoken to you at all, he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man." You know, friends, tonight I went into the world and I enjoyed the world. But there's one thing I never done. I never got the taste for drink. I never drunk. But I used to go out and enjoy myself with my friends in the bars and things like that. And you know all the sin that the young people would get into. One Sunday night, I was making my way up through the city centre. And this Sunday night, there was an open air in the front of the city hall. And as I was coming past that open air, the men were giving out gospel shots for "God so loved the world" and all the different verses. And you know, as I walked up that city centre, what hit me between the eyes? "My spirit shall not always strive with man." You know, that was with me. That verse brought everything back to me, what my Sunday school teacher had told me about salvation. You know, I used to think that going to Sunday school, I used to think that going to the children's meetings, I used to think being in the boys' brigade, that I was saved and I was on my way to heaven. I didn't think that I needed anything about repentance or any of this. I thought that I was ready. But you know, that verse kept speaking to me, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." I remember on the Monday morning going to meet all the apprentices, and we all used to sit at the back of the bus. And I remember the apprentices saying to me, "Tommy, what's wrong with you? You're not your jokey self today. There's something wrong with you." You know, friends, I didn't know it was the Spirit of God dealing with me. And you know, at lunchtime at 10 o'clock, we used to have a break. And again, the young men used to say to me, "Tommy, what is wrong with you? You're not your normal self." But you know, it was the Spirit of God speaking to me, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." You know, all that week, the Lord dealt with me. And you know, that following Sunday, I went to our church, Great Victoria Street Church. I never heard what the minister spoke at all. I came out of the church and I walked out. And you know, it just, that verse just took a grip in my life again. And I said, "Lord, Mr. Stewart said, if I call upon you, that you'll save me." And I said, "Lord Jesus, I'm a guilty sinner. Wash me in your precious blood." And you know, he done it that night. That was way back in September in 1966. I remember going home and I'd done something that I'd never done before. Remember what I said? I had five sisters and they used to help my mum. I walked in and I lifted a dishcloth and I started to dry the dishes, and my mother looked at me and she says, "There's something wrong with you." And I says, "Mommy, I got saved tonight." And you know, my mother wasn't saved, and she said to me, "Tommy, that's great." And she says, "I want to tell you something. Your daddy, your grandmother, your daddy's mother was a Christian. And when she heard that I was pregnant with you, she said, she prayed that you'd get saved." And there, my grandmother's prayer was answered. And you know, I remember going in that day, and having to tell all those apprentices and telling all the men that I had become a Christian. Oh yes, they mocked me. They laughed at me. And they told me, oh, it'll only last a week, or it'll only last a day, or only last a minute or two. But you know, friend, the Lord Jesus was with me, and he undertook for me. You know, it came to training on the Tuesday and the Thursday for the football. And you know, the old desire had left. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you know, I had no more desire for the football. I had no more desire. I wanted to get to meetings. I wanted to do something for the Lord. And I went up to the manager and I said, I'll not be back. I'm finished. And you know, I gave up that night and gave my heart to the Lord. I got to know a young man called Eric Smith, who is Pastor Eric Smith at the moment. And he got me involved in open air work. In those days, I used to be able to play the guitar. And I used to play the guitar at the open air for the girls and other people who would come to sing. But one night, there was another man leading the meeting, and he said, our brother is going to bring a message and song. And I looked around for the brother who was going to give a message and song, and it was this brother here. So I remember what I sang, I'll Fly Away. And you know, I wish I could have flew away. I remember singing that hymn. But after that meeting, I said, Lord, if you want me to do something for you, make me busy. And just this man approached me, and he said to me, could you come and give your testimony? And I said, I would, certainly. I always get this place wrong. I always have to ask my wife the name of the place. I met her that night. She was my girlfriend, and I asked her to come to this little church. It was the Christian Workers Union. Thank you. She keeps me right all the time. And he approached me, and he said, would you come and sing? And I says, I can't sing. And he said, what are you only after doing? And he said, I said, yes. But I lifted the newspaper for that meeting, and what a shock I got. At that open air, I had told the people that I'd give up football, I'd give up playing for Carrick Rangers. But he had put on the notice, come and hear the testimony of the ex-Glasgow Rangers footballer. And it was up the Shankill Road, would you believe, that I was to give him a testimony. And, you know, we got that put right. But, you know, the Lord undertook. Again, I had nowhere to go to. I didn't know where to go. But our brother, Eric Smith, said to me, I have a good place for you to go to. There's a wee church on the Ravenhill Road, the lower part of the Ravenhill Road. And he said, you need to go and hear a man preaching there. And it was, of course, Dr. Paisley. And there I became a member of the Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. You know, many years ago, my friend, if you were to tell me that I would be going around churches singing and preaching, if you were to tell me that I would be an elder in the Free Presbyterian Church, I would have said, there's no way. But you know, the Lord loved me, and he died for me. You know, I lost my job, I was made redundant, and I didn't know what to do. I had just got married, and we had small children. And one of Dr. Paisley's police escorts said to me, Tommy, why not join the police? So in 1971, I joined the police and was sent to Tennant Street Police Station. And there one night, I was involved in a booby trap explosion at the back of the courthouse. Our three of us went into the house, and the bomb went off. And one of the men that was carrying the submachine gun, the submachine gun was bent, and I was blown right out through, and my flak jacket saved my life. The Lord undertook. But you know, one of those men that was with us was a young man, and he was an atheist. And many a time I would speak to him about the Savior, and other men who were Christians in our turn would speak to him. And you know, after that time, that young man came to know the Lord as his own and personal Savior. You know, friend, it's wonderful what the Lord does. After I had got saved, I prayed for my family, and I had the joy of seeing my mother come to the Saviour. I had the joy of leading my father to the Saviour. I had a joy of seeing all my sisters coming to the Saviour. Two of them are with the Saviour at the minute. And there's one in England that we're praying that the Lord will save her. You know, friend, tonight, you don't know what will happen to your family if you come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I used to think that I was ready for heaven. But I praise God for a faithful Sunday school teacher. And you know, my friend, if you're a Sunday school teacher here to this evening, pray on for the young men in your class. You know, it was 3 years, 4 years after I left my Sunday school that the Lord saved me. And I'm looking forward to meeting Mr. Stewart in glory and telling them that I have come and trusted the Savior. Oh, friend, I would plead with you tonight. You know, if I would ask you to come and trust the Savior. He's a wonderful Savior and a wonderful Lord. You know, it's great to have a witness for him. And you know, I just said one day, I'm now retired completely, and I was sitting at my desk and I said, Lord, if you want me to sing, if you want me to preach, make me busy. I want to be busy for thee. And you know, the phone never stopped. And every week now I'm away speaking or singing somewhere. Oh, believer, be busy for the Lord. The time is short. You need to come and work for the Lord. And my friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come and trust him. You know, I thought I was okay, but I thank God for a faithful Sunday school teacher who showed me all my righteousness was like filthy rags. That was way back in September in 1966. You know, I've failed him many a time, but praise God, he has never failed me, and he has always been with me. But you know, there's a little verse in Amos. And Amos the prophet said this verse to the people of Israel. He told the people to prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. And you know, my friend, tonight you need to prepare to meet God, because the Lord is coming back again. The Bible tells me that he's coming again. You need to prepare to meet God personally. I had to come personally to the Savior. My parents weren't saved. I didn't know my wife at that time. I didn't know anybody who was a Christian. And I had to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say to me tonight, Tommy, how can I meet God personally? Well, you know, the world would tell us we need to go to some theologian to find this out. The world would tell us we would need to go to some professor of scriptures to know this. But you know, my friend, tonight, without Christ in this meeting, all you need to do is go to God's Word. And God's Word tells us in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to come to God tonight, you need to come through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you need to come personally to the Savior tonight. If you don't come to know him personally as your Savior, someday you'll come to know him personally as your judge. I read a little book and it told the story of a young man. And this young man had got into trouble. And one day he was riding his bicycle along a track, and his bicycle got caught in the tram lines. And as the tram was coming along, this other gentleman saw the danger that this young man was in. And the gentleman jumped on the young man and pulled him to safety and saved his life. Of course, the tram came along and the bicycle was completely wrecked. You know, that young man had to go to court the next day because, as I told you, he was in trouble. And what a shock he got when he sat down. The man who came in to be the judge was the man who had just saved his life the day before. And after the judge had heard all the evidence against the young man and he was found guilty, the judge, he looked at the young man and he said, young man, yesterday I was your Savior, but today I'm your judge. I have to give judgment on you today, what's going to happen. And you know, my friend, that's like you in this meeting without Christ. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ could be your Savior. But you know, if you don't accept him as your Savior, tomorrow he could be your judge. Because I read in Revelation about a great white throne. And the great and the small stand before that great white throne. And their sins are judged. If you don't have your sins dealt with under the blood now, someday you'll have to stand and answer for your sin. I praise God away back in 1966. My sins were washed in the precious blood. I'll never have to stand at that great white throne because there was one day, personally, I came to the Savior. Oh, friend, tonight, not only will it be a personal judgment, it'll be a personal sentence. Depart from me. And you know, sadly, it'll be a personal hell. Oh, you need to come and prepare personally to the Savior. I needed to come personally. But you need to come properly. You need to come properly. You know, I thought that I was okay. I thought that all my righteous works were getting me into heaven. But I praise God for a faithful Sunday school teacher who said to me, "Tommy, all your righteousness are like filthy rags in front, in the sight of God." You know, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." The Bible tells us, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast." Oh, I couldn't work my way to heaven. I couldn't do anything to get myself into heaven. I had to come properly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, tonight, you need to come properly to the Savior. You need to come and repent of your sin. You need to come and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a guilty sinner. I realize I'm a guilty sinner. I need to be washed in your precious blood. Here I am. Take me. I come into my heart." Just like a little child, "Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." Oh, friend, tonight you need to prepare personally. But you need to prepare promptly. But you know, you need to prepare promptly. You need to prepare promptly. The Bible tells me in Proverbs 22, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth." I often think, if I hadn't have become a Christian in the early 1966, when my friend walked in that booby trap explosion, if we had been launched into a Christless eternity, I'd have been lost forever. You know, the Bible tells us, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Oh, friend, you need to come promptly. You know, Amos said, "Prepare to meet thy God." You need to prepare personally. You need to prepare properly. And you need to prepare promptly. There was a woman one day, she was walking through London. And as she walked through London, she was going to a great ball. And this preacher approached her and said, "Dear, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior? Are you ready for heaven?" And this lady was a very churchy woman. And she took this as a real offense. And she walked past the preacher and she went to the ball. But you know, when she was in the ball, the Spirit of God kept putting this into her mind. "Are you a saved person? Do you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior?" And she couldn't get this out of her mind. She went home after the ball and she went to bed. And she got very little sleep that night. And it kept coming into her mind, "Are you a saved person? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Are you washed in the blood?" She could get no peace, so she hunted out the preacher. She went and spoke to him. She knocked the door, and the preacher said, "Come in." The lady told the preacher all about. She said, "Preacher, I know I now I need to be saved, but I don't know how to come. I don't know how to come. I don't know how to get saved. And the preacher said to her, dear, just come as you are. Just come as you are. I had to come just as I am. And that woman went home that day. And she got down on her knees and she came just as she was. And she got gloriously saved. That was Charlotte Elliott. And she wrote that beautiful hymn, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, but that thy bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. O friend, you need to come just as you are. I came just as I was. I had nobody that night to show me how to get saved. I just took the Lord at his word. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, tonight, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Oh, you need to come properly. You need to come promptly. And you need to come personally. Just in closing, I lifted a little book the other day and it told the story. This woman gave her testimony. I give you my testimony tonight, how the Lord saved me. And this lady lived on Balmoral Estate at the time of Queen Victoria. And she lived with she was a pensioner, and she lived beside another pensioner. And both of them fell out one night. And one went into her own little house and she said, I want nothing to do with my neighbour anymore. I want nothing to do with her. And she went and sat beside her fire. And of course her temper got worse and worse. And she thought over what her friend had said about her. As she sat beside her fire, she heard footsteps coming down the path. And she heard a gentle knock on the door. She said, I'm not answering the door to that woman. I want nothing to do with her. And she went to bed. She heard another louder knock on the door. And then she heard a harder knock on the door. And as she went to bed, she heard the footsteps walk away. She said in her little book and testimony, the next morning she woke, and of course her anger had died down. And she realized that she was just as a bigger problem as her neighbor. And she went into her neighbor and they made up and they hugged each other and they said that they were sorry. And of course the woman said, I'm sorry I didn't open the door to you last night. And the lady said, I wasn't at your door last night. She says, but I'll tell you who was at your door. She says, Queen Victoria was at your door. Queen Victoria would go round the folks' houses and meet with them. And this lady said in her testimony, it was written to people who didn't know Christ. She said, sinner friend. She said, Queen Victoria never darkened my door again. I never seen Queen Victoria again. And she said in her little book, you know, my friend, my sinner friend, that could be like you. The King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been knocking on your heart's door. And he's knocked gently on your heart door as God's servant preached from this pulpit. And you know, you have said, I don't want anything to do with him. And then he's knocked that wee bit harder. And you've said, I don't want anything to do with him. And then he's knocked that wee bit harder. And then his footsteps have walked away. And in her little book, she said, my sinner friend, she said, God's spirit shall not always strive a man. And she said, could it be someday he'll stop knocking at your door and you'll hear his footsteps walk away and then you'll be lost forever. Oh, friend, tonight there's danger and delay. I praise God that way back in 66, I opened my heart's door and said, Lord Jesus, come in. Come in today, come in to stay, and praise God he done it. Oh, I would plead with you tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't put it off tonight. The old devil's coming to you now and saying, don't listen to that boy saying. He done it with me many a time. I remember being in many a meeting. I was invited to gospel meetings by different friends. And you know, I should have came to the Savior. I realized that I needed to come to the Savior, but I kept putting it off. But I thank God in September in 66, the Lord Jesus saved me. Oh friend, I pray tonight that you might come, that my Savior may become your Savior too. Amen.
Now we're going to sing our closing hymn together. It's number 474. Thank our brother for his testimony, for the message from the Word of God. I don't think tonight anything more needs to be said. Everybody in this meeting tonight knows the gospel. And it's no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. And all you have to do tonight is respond. That's where the rubber hits the road. You know the truth of the gospel. You're well aware that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. And you know tonight that he invites you to come. And I pray tonight that you'll make that response within your heart. 474, this lovely old hymn. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And even tonight in this meeting, we believe that the Lord is near. And he can hear your cry. Call upon him just where you are. And say, Lord, will you lift that burden of sin from my heart and from my life? Will you come into my heart, come into my life? Take my sin away. I'll give you my heart. Be my Savior. 474. We'll stand together, please, as we sing the hymn. 474. Has spoken to your heart and you need somebody to speak to and you're concerned about your soul and you want to get right with God, we are your servants for Christ's sake, and if we can be of any help or encouragement or assistance to you, we're very available to speak to you. We trust that the Lord will bring you to himself. And just remember the words that were quoted often in the testimony: my spirit shall not always strive with man. Father, we thank Thee for this meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, for the messages and song. We thank Thee, Lord, for the clear and challenging word of testimony. And Lord God, we thank Thee for the counsel and the challenge of Thy word. Prepare to meet Thy God. O God, tonight we pray that the Spirit of God will work in many, many hearts. And O God, we pray that Thou wouldst bring to Thyself precious souls for whom Christ has died. Accept of our thanks for this meeting. Bless us now, Lord, we pray. Bless the good things provided to us. Help us to eat and to drink to Thy glory. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt lead us on with Thyself and take us our separate ways later on. Give us journeying mercies. Bless Thy word to our hearts tonight. We pray in the Saviour's name. Amen.